Rick Emerson, Radio Program. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You know, there's this trend now of these television game shows that are just really thinly veiled. The recreations of old game shows. Because Deal or No Deal, for example, which is just Let's Make a Deal. Except it's got Howie Mandel. And then this. This apparently premieres tonight. I will not be watching this. Identity, which is apparently an NBC show hosted by magician Pan Gillette, which premieres tonight. Players, Tim Riley, what 50s program is this stolen from? Players try to match 12 people with their occupations.
What's My Line?
Exactly.
There which is go. Still on at midnight on Sunday night.
The
original.
Is that on the Game Show Network?
Yep. With Arlene and Francis.
Fantastic.
And Dorothy Kilgallen.
Yeah.
Bernard Cerf, and usually one guest panelist.
Yeah. But now you can watch it with now you can watch it with 12 irritating contestants and Pan Gillette, who... Pan Gillette is one of those guys like Bill Maher, who I sort of like in the abstract, but who I've realized I just can't watch for long periods of time, because it's just...
I don't know who Pan Gillette is.
Pan Gillette is like... He's the talking half of Penn and Teller, the magician duo.
Oh, okay. I didn't know those guys had last name.
No, it's like, yeah, it's like scratching... It's like putting nails down a chalkboard deep inside your soul. That's what Pan Gillette... And he's a funny guy, smart guy. I agree with most of his positions on things. He's a fantastic magician. I just can't watch that guy speak. It becomes too much. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's now join Tim Riley at that thing we call the Ministry of Truth.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Okay, so our top story isn't good news. And the nastiest things are putting Oregon on the map, at least for the past couple of weeks or so. The family of one of the three climbers missing for over a week on Mount Hood has confirmed that the body found yesterday near the summit was climber Kelly James. His brother Frank confirmed the sad news based on information given to him from the Hood River Sheriff's Department.
They identified a ring with my brother's initials on it, which has led me and our family to conclude that the climber found in the cave yesterday was my brother Kelly.
Well, we kind of knew that was the case. I mean, there was just no one thought that was going to turn out well at all.
Right. Hood River County Sheriff Joe Wampler says two snow caves were found yesterday afternoon, and the body was found with a cell phone inside the second cave.
Yesterday was very disappointing. I mean, the whole idea of somebody being able to survive in a snow cave is what's been keeping them going all this time, and me, and all these guys here.
You know, the weird thing about it,
what is all this cost and who's paying for it? Do they have to pay up front?
Are they billed afterwards? Are there credit terms available? Who pays for this?
The thing that Nate Baker had pointed out, which is weird, is that there are two snow caves, two distinct snow caves.
Well, now they think the other two fell into a crevasse.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's what I just read.
I think that they've arrived at that by the scientific methodology known as guessing. Because I just don't understand why there are two separate caves. Three guys, two separate caves, and they found like all of their crap, like a bunch of their luggage, or their luggage, but I mean the sleeping bag, whatever, in one cave, and then like they found this other guy in like another cave altogether. So I don't understand why all the caves. I don't know. So that's kind
maybe
of
one preferred to be by himself.
He was a loner. Yes,
that's the way I would prefer it. I have to have my own cave.
Really, yeah, I need my space.
So that's that for now. Guess who we found? Well, the sentence will lead to it anyway. Understanding the challenges of the present and seeing the threats of the future. That's how President Bush summed up the key task for Robert Gates, the nation's 22nd Secretary of Defense. During a formal swearing-in at the Pentagon, Bush said Gates understands the stakes of the war on terror, and he was sworn in by Dick Cheney.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Who is George W. Bush? Is this like when somebody doesn't want to win, doesn't want to show up for the Academy Award, and they just send like an Indian in their place?
That was a lot to read.
I suppose that's true. Yes. I was told there would be.
You
want
to get it right the first time. We have other things to do. And, you know, he's got maternity clothes to buy for his daughter.
No,
keep you hanging around all day.
No time for retakes.
The president says the new defense secretary is the right man for the job.
We are a nation at war, and I rely on our secretary of defense to provide me with the best possible advice. and to help direct our nation's armed forces as they engage the enemies of freedom around the world. Bob Gates is the right man to take on these challenges.
Okay.
Defense Secretary Gates said the U.S. cannot afford to lose in Iraq.
Failure in Iraq at this juncture would be a calamity that would haunt our nation, impair our credibility, and endanger Americans for decades to come.
Well, maybe failure at the many, many junctures in the past will be acceptable, though.
Failure at this juncture.
Yeah, whatever.
Colin Powell doesn't believe the idea of moving more American soldiers into Baghdad is a good idea. He was on CBS's Face the Nation, my program that it is, and said there already been an increase in troops in the Iraqi capital already.
They haven't stabilized the situation. So we have tried this surge of troops over the summer. I am not persuaded that another surge of troops into Baghdad for the purpose of suppressing this communitarian violence or civil war will work.
He was all gung-ho for the war in the first place.
Yeah.
But it seems like he at least sort of realized that it's just becoming a little bit of a no-win situation.
Mr. Powell is blunt in his assessment of the situation in Iraq.
Nothing seems to be improving. It seemed to me that this looks like a civil war, and we ought to call it that.
All right. It's a civil war from now on.
Mm-hmm.
Powell says that this is kind of interesting. According to international law, the U.S. became Iraq's government after Saddam Hussein was overthrown.
The first responsibility of a government is to provide security for the people. And what the people did not get in that second phase, and what they don't have now, is security to go about reconstruction.
Well, now, and I've got this quote right here. This is from, what show is this from? Where was he? His Face
the Nation? This is CBS's Face the Nation.
All right. Wait, is that Bob Schieffer still
I
doing
believe
that?
So, yes.
So this mm-hmm. is another, this one they did not excerpt out, but this one I found. This is, somebody sent this to me. This is Colin Powell.
Saying we're losing.
Saying that we are, in fact, losing.
I agree with the assessment of Mr. Baker and Mr. Hamilton. It's grave and deteriorating. And as Secretary Designate of Defense Bob Gates said at his confirmation hearing, we're not winning. So it's grave and deteriorating, and we're not winning. We are losing. We haven't lost. And this is the time now to start to put in place the kinds of strategies that will turn this situation around.
Like building a time machine. That would be handy.
That was a weird sounding thing. It sounded like something from Radio Moscow that they tried to override, but they didn't quite do it.
Totally. It's trying to garble it out, but it's just sort of, if anyone could hear me, I'm broadcasting on, you know. It's weird how Colin Powell just doesn't really, it's an oddity to hear from him, because he's just sort of on they've just kind of stuck him on some, like, D-grade circuit somewhere, where you don't really, he doesn't really get the high-profile speaking gigs at this point.
Well, here comes the kiss of death. Who wouldn't want the backing of Senator Ted Kennedy? He says he's standing behind John Kerry.
I think of what a difference John Kerry would be if he were president of the United States of America. We'd be a vastly different country. And I think John Kerry, people underestimate him. They underestimated the last time. I think he's a strong candidate. And if he makes a judgment and decision to get in, I intend to support
him. Now, am I wrong about this? That really the only place that helps anybody is in Massachusetts, and the rest of the country that just screws you if a Kennedy's behind you?
Yep.
I can't think of something that is less of a positive endorsement in the rest of the free world than to have a Kennedy going, I believe he is a great man. No one anywhere. They just assume you're a drunk and a girl killer. That's it. It only helps you in Massachusetts. Here's the thing about John Edwards, though. As much as he looks like a little Fisher-Price man, you know who he looks like? He looks like what's-his-name on the British version of The Office. The guy who is, what's his name? The guy who's dating Pam or wants to date Pam. I forget his name. Tim, I think. On the British version of The Office. But he kind of looks like that guy with sort of darker hair. But the thing about John Edwards is, the reason the Democrats ought to not overlook him entirely is because he is a Southerner. And really, Democrats can't win anything unless they're from the South. That's the only way Democrats ever... John F. Kennedy notwithstanding, Democrats never win anything unless they're Southern. Neither Barack nor Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton sort of seems... Is she from Arkansas? She's not.
No.
She can't be from Arkansas. She seems way too East Coast.
Yeah.
She seems way too refined and mean.
All right. Time for the joy of Christmas.
That's me.
That's you, yes.
It's time for another exciting installment of That Thing right here, which we always do and are prepared for, the joy of Christmas right here on the... Thank you. Hello.
the year when people forget their common sense, according to the police. Every year there are cases when a thief sees a car running and takes advantage. Even if the cars are locked, he may see valuables and break into your car. Be careful. Number four.
This includes pocketbooks, wallets, cell phones. If you carry a blanket or something in the back, just cover them up so that the temptation is no longer there for a person to break into your vehicle.
And also, temptation to steal that blanket.
Yeah, yes. And the, well, that's like, this is also the time of year when you did all the stories start rolling about it was going to be the perfect Christmas. And then it's always about how some family goes off and they do that thing where they leave the Christmas tree. They put the Christmas tree right in front of the picture window in the living room. And then the big mountain of obviously expensive and valuable presents right underneath it illuminated. But like a huge beacon of light inside the house so that you can see it from miles or sort of like a thieves come this way kind of a thing.
Well, the odds of a white Christmas are the bleakest in 20 years, say the bookmakers, although it did snow in the suburbs this morning. Any snow having yet to put in an appearance, all... Okay, here's another one of those things that is written, that is translated by Radio Pravda, yeah. Which doesn't have adverbs or verbs or nouns.
Sort of a Borat news story.
So let me skip down and see if this makes more sense.
Pleased to be having...
The odds against snow falling at any time during the 24 hours of Christmas Day are the longest they've been in over a decade. The bookmakers are offering a 10-1 for a white Christmas to happen in London, 9-1. This is a terrible story. Well, the odds are twice as long as normal, but even a few flakes could cost us a six-figure payout, as many people are placing their bets weeks, if not months, ago, and there are plenty of punsters skeptical about whether global warming really exists.
What is a punster?
I have no idea. Then there are some figures on the bottom of the page that make absolutely no sense at all.
They're written in, Vulcan.
Yeah. Well, let me read a good old-fashioned American story.
Fantastic.
That's complete with verbs, adverbs, and nouns.
Okay.
Imi Fujiwara's holidays can hardly be called that, as she juggles a full-time job at evening studies and tries to find money and time to buy presents, organize parties, and cook for family and friends. A 26-year-old trainee nurse who works at a children's hospital says she indulges in comfort eating with what she describes as the most stressful time of the year. Nearly half all the women in the United States suffer from increased stress during the holidays, a condition that contributes to a rising level of comfort eating, drinking, and other coping mechanisms that can lead to, yes, weight gain. That, according to the American Psychological Association, a national stress survey the association conducted in January shows one in four people in the U.S. agree that, quote, when I am feeling down or facing a problem, I turn to food to help me feel better, unquote. The October survey showed that that proportion increases to one in three people during the holidays. Comfort eating and unhealthy drinking increases among men, too, but it's all too common in women.
Well, you know, the thing about the holidays is, and I was thinking about this the other day, you know, the single biggest enemy to staying, towards staying thin is the fact that when you go to work during the holiday season, workplaces are filled with terrible food. And for some reason, it's like stuff that you can turn down, like stuff that you can walk by at the store. Like you will walk through the aisles of a Safeway or of a, you know, whatever, you know, an Albertsons, a Whole Foods, and you will see like a huge bag of peanut brittle and you'll say, I'm not going to buy that. Even if it was cheap, even if 99 cents, big, huge half pound of peanut brittle. Ah, no, I'll say no. You walk through the office, it's sitting at the front desk, you will eat that. And how
and
do I know?
It's covered with barbecue sauce.
Because I did this the other day. And it was, see, and I'm not a big fan of peanut brittle as such.
It'll break your teeth.
It'll eat your bones. But the, but there's this new kind of peanut brittle, which I only saw a couple years ago. Jolie, who had worked at the front desk, Jolie brought some of this to work a while back. And it's just, it's just the most insidious thing you can imagine. It is peanut brittle, and it's before they harden it. It's when it's in its sort of liquid, sort of honey-like form, when it's still in its sort of soft, viscous form. It is peanut brittle, then they swirl it together with a peanut butter cookie mix, like peanut butter cookie dough. They blend it into one, so it's like cookie, it's peanut butter cookie dough and peanut brittle mix. They blend it into one sort of thick goo, and then they bake it into sheets. It's like the best thing that's ever existed.
Then they cover it with pig's feet.
Is there, no, I, they deep fry it. It's unbelievably good. It's so good, I mean, that it really seems like you are committing some kind of a sin by eating. It really is like the very definition of decadent, and that's a word I don't use very often. But somebody had it at the front desk last week. So what do I do?
I didn't see it. It was gone.
That's because I ate it all, Tim Riley. It was all in my stomach.
Well, I had one of those cupcakes that was covered with a layer of frosting. Did you see those?
Yeah, the frosting is thick as the cupcake.
The cake made out of cupcakes?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's in the kitchen right now. It's probably not. Might be gone by now. Still here
it
last
was
night.
Sinful.
I stopped in last night to get a little work done. It was still in the kitchen. It was a cake made out of little cakes. And that's a thing that only Americans would come up with, by the way.
And another cake could have been piled up on top, I think.
There could have been a support system for a whole tier of cakes. But this peanut brittle, it was at the front desk. And so my office, I had to pass the front desk. To get from the studio to my office, I had to go by the front desk. And, man, I had to do 8 or 9 or 10 trips or whatever that day just to get every time I would walk by. Well, I'm walking by the desk. Better have another handful. But I can't even imagine the number of and you don't think of them as being calories. That's the thing, because you're not stopping and sitting at the table
like
and eating it.
A tote board going up in your head.
No, exactly, because you're not buying something out of them. All the usual triggers that indicate, all the little alarms that go off in your head that indicate to you that you are eating badly.
Disconnected this time of the year.
I have... Totally.
It'll resume January 2nd.
Exactly. None of those...
Have a happy holiday.
It's like a smoke detector in which the battery has been taken out and tossed in a cupboard. You're not buying something out of a machine. You're not unwrapping anything. You're not buying something at the store. You're not sitting down at a table. You're just getting a handful of whatever out of the... And then later on, like somebody put like some of those like... those like chocolate dipped peanut butter round things, whatever, just a bunch of crap. And when I say crap, I mean it was good, but it'll kill you and give you, and you'll die with a huge ass.
Like Elvis.
You'll die with a huge ass and 30 pounds of stool in your colon. That's me. That's what awaits me every holiday season. So I'm just saying, man, and then you walk into the kitchen. Again, the kitchen, the same thing. And every time there's like a client meeting and all of the food doesn't get eaten, they put it in the kitchen and we all just descend on it like flies on a rib roast. Anyway, there you go. So the point is, I'm fat.
Here's Tim Riley. Oh, that's not a problem. That's today's joy of Christmas.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's your joy of Christmas for Monday.
You a Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. You a Merry Christmas. You a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Fantastic.
Apparently,
I was just going to say, I've got these theories about snow caves, but we'll get to it later.
Go ahead. You sure?
Yeah.
You don't want to tease one?
No, because they all have to do with cannibalism. It seems like it might be too soon. It seems like it's too soon for that.
I suppose so.
It wasn't too soon last week. Today it's too soon. Mm-hmm. Next week it won't be too soon again.
Somebody else will do something stupid.
No, that's what I'm saying.
It's always from people out of state.
No, Oregon is going to really get a bad rap as a state that kills you.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon is really, we're just going to get some sort of a, we're going to get some sort of a reputation. Like we're going to become the new Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. But with more trees. Tom McCall was right. It's okay to visit. Except sure you don't stay.
Except he said to stay. Well, I guess they are.
They are
not
staying.
Yeah, they are staying. All right, here's
some. People just overstay their welcome, I suppose.
Just Tim Riley.
Well, apparently not everyone finds yo mama jokes all that funny. A middle school principal in Sacramento has banned kids from saying such jokes on campus over concerns that the back and forth put downs can lead to fights and some other problems.
Who doesn't love yo mama jokes? I'm white and I love those.
I have no idea what that means.
You know a yo mama joke, don't you? Do you know a yo mama joke?
Rick, no. Those people told 1998.
People told Polish jokes.
Apparently not. Really? Would you like to share any of those?
No. It goes back to the 70s.
What about Polish hairdressers? Would you like to talk about them?
No. But I have something for the athletes about the Judy Garland merchandise coming up in a few moments.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Well, let's get back to the Yo Mama jokes. And those are not 1998. Those are timeless. Those have been around for years. That's an American tradition. Those are... The Yo Mama joke... Like when I was a kid, those were already old. There is no time period.
There's no ending to them.
There's no beginning nor end to Yo Mama jokes.
Well, Yo Mama jokes are seemingly back on the rise, thanks in part to an MTV show of the same name. However, Principal Kevin McDonald of Schemberg Middle School says two kids got in a huge brawl at the school following some Yo Mama jokes, and he's tired of hearing the kids on campus saying such jokes to each other. He believes it encourages bad behavior.
No, everyone knows.
Back to Dirty Dancing.
You're not allowed. Everybody knows that you are not allowed to take a Yo Mama joke seriously or to punch a guy for saying it. That's understood. It's given. It's part of the. It's part of the rules. It just goes with that. Your mama's so wrinkly they have to screw her pants on. Come on, that's funny.
I honestly don't get that.
Never mind. Here's Tim Ryan. Well, we're not trafficking in stereotypes here, but attention all athletes. Four early recordings by Judy Garland didn't sell at an auction because bidders failed to bid the required minimum. The records haven't been heard in public and are believed to be made by Garland. Bidding on the recordings only reached $22,500, short of the minimum bid. The songs included the version of the Good Ship Lollipop, which was expected to get between $30,000 and $40,000.
Well, you know, that Good Ship Lollipop, that's a song that'll give you diabetic shock just from listening to it. Just, I was watching some, flipping by the Discovery Channel or something the other day, and it was Shirley Temple singing on the Good Ship Lollipop, and seriously, you just want to kill her and then stab out your own ears.
I can see why kids didn't like her very much.
No one liked her. Was it you that has that story about your mom worked with her and your grandmother?
Yeah, my grandmother did.
And she was a little crotch?
And she was mean and would never share her toys.
Seriously. Somebody got to shave her head. Somebody got to do.
She needed a mother like Joan Crawford.
That was on the station. I watched part of it.
It's on every day.
Yeah, Mommy Dearest.
Yeah, it's on Oxygen every day.
She wouldn't have been so mouthy then.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't have gotten so uppity if Joan Crawford had raised you. Oh, wait, are these going to be all Yo Mama jokes? Matt, hello, sir.
Yeah, you know, there's lots of bad Yo Mama jokes, but the one that might be kind of funny is your mom is so fat.
That's really disgusting. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
That's really disgusting. Chris, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Yeah, Rick, why don't you get off my mom, because I just got off yours.
See, that's funny. That's funny right there. Remember, thank you, Chris.
Thanks, brother.
Remember how Kyle, the intern, used to have that sticker on his car, and it's like, my other ride is your mom?
Oh, yeah,
That's funny. All right. I saw a great Your Mama joke on Fark the other day, actually. It was like, never mind. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, Hardy Harris, Paris Hilton claims she's been celibate lately. Hilton, who reportedly has been dumped by her pantyless best friend, Britney Spears, had declared a while back that she was going to go boyfriendless.
Is that true? Did Britney Spears dump Paris Hilton?
Yes.
Okay.
And as if she's made good on that claim. When asked by a reporter how long it's been since she's had sex, Hilton said, about 6 or 7 months. I think. I don't care. I would rather just make out and kiss someone instead of sex.
Oh, God, the idea of making out with Paris Hilton. I mean, look, and I think I speak for all guys here. For women, it's probably the opposite. Or maybe not. I don't know. I think a lot of guys can think of women that they would rather have sex with than make out with. There's probably a lot of women that you would have sex with before. Like, you would do that way before you would ever make out with them. Just because the making out just seems so repellent. The idea of making out with Paris Hilton, it just seems... I don't understand this. Because Scotty, again, is on the I would gladly make out with Paris Hilton. It's just bizarre.
I think Scotty would make out with anything. No offense, Mrs. J.
With a tree. He says, not just me, though. What, you want, like, another dude there? Is he giving you a back rub during the makeout? Oh, I see. Oh, so it's more of a groping. Okay, here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, Hilton insists she's actually quite modest in that area. I've only been in, like, two relationships, and I just thought I'd like to be single. Sex is sacred. People shouldn't have sex unless they're in an exclusive relationship anyway. I'd rather not do anything. Guys want you more when you don't do it. Young girls should know that. Michael Jackson's much ballyhooed Christmas appearance in Tokyo has been nixed. The singer was scheduled to meet fans in Japanese Studio Coast December 19th, but his spokeswoman said that's not going to happen. Instead, he'll appear on a fan appreciation day in Tokyo in March.
Who? What? Ballyhooed performance by who?
Michael Jackson.
Oh.
Now, the price for tickets had elicited shock and some outrage. Well, even for the Japanese, who have plenty of money to spend because they're a smart group of people, tickets cost as much as $3,300.
Yes, they're so good at hairdressing.
Mm-hmm. But the Japanese say that's even too much for them.
Even for the Japanese?
Even for the Japanese.
You know what it is? It's because they are all financially responsible.
I think so. They all have good educations.
It's true. And they smell nice.
Mm-hmm.
All of them.
And they respect authority.
And they're elders.
Yes.
We should take a break. Sarah's not laughing. Sarah doesn't find anything we're doing funny today. You haven't laughed
at a
single
thing. No. Nope.
Laughed at a single thing we've done today. Name the last thing we did that you found amusing.
Tim's kind of funny today. Well, Tim's always funny, though.
Your mama is so fat.
No, you're right. I haven't laughed today.
Her diaphragm comes in a pizza box.
There's still 2.5 more hours of laughter to come.
503-733-2970. Rick Emerson. So we're back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Your mama is so hairy. Bigfoot takes pictures of her. Oh yeah. That one was sent to me by Richard. Thank you, sir. What do you mean you don't get those because you're a girl? Don't girls ever tell?
Of course I get them. I just don't think they're funny.
Your girls... Fine. Is that a guy thing? Your mama joke? It must be. Yeah, there's no female equivalent to that, I guess.
I don't... Maybe girls think they're funny. I just...
Don't. Okay. 503-733-2970. We got this. Your mama just like a TriMet. Guys lined up all day long just waiting to pay to get on. It's 503-733-2970. We return to the Ministry of Truth in a moment. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. The original Harry Scary Guy, the host of Ground Zero Lounge, our good friend Clyde Lewis. Hello, sir.
Your mama is so poor that when you stepped out a lit cigarette, she told you to pick it up, relight it so you could have heat. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah, well, why are you guys telling your mama jokes? How silly is that?
I'm just...
That's exactly what it is, Clyde. Right. It's silly.
I don't think they're funny.
They're not.
It is silly, but that is us.
No, it's not funny.
I am not above any kind of humor. We are not above... please. You have come on this program and told knock-knock jokes before.
When did I tell a knock-knock joke?
You have told knock-knock jokes. You also told that joke about... Was it you that told the joke about the complimentary nuts?
I've told the complimentary nuts joke before, yeah.
Tell the complimentary nuts joke.
Now, a guy's sitting in a bar, and he's all by himself in a corner, and all of a sudden, he hears, "Nice tie." He looks around, he's wondering, "What the heck?" And so then he's sitting there and drinking his beer, and all of a sudden he hears, "Nice shoes." He says, "Bartender, what's going on? What's happening? I hear all these people telling me nice tie, nice shoes," and the bartender says, "Well, complimentary nuts." Yeah,
see,
there you go.
See, that's funny, yet also silly.
Just yeah, like it's silly and funny, yeah.
All right. Hey, what's up in the world of the kooky and paranormal?
Not much kooky and paranormal. It's just that I went and saw the movie Deja Vu a while ago. And that movie's been on my mind a lot because there have been a lot of things that, you know, you look back and you say to yourself, boy, if I only had a clue, if I only had an idea that this was going to happen, I probably would have planned my life differently.
Right.
Well, the truth of the matter is that, you know, half the time when I say things are about to happen or when I say things look like they're about to happen or what have you, it's because I picked up on certain clues and certain things that I feel like, well, it's like we've been here before, right? And so what I've done is I've compiled for tonight's show at Dante's some interesting things that a lot of people don't know about that. Like, for example, you know, a lot of people say we had no idea 9/11 was going to happen, yet there were so many TV shows and things that pointed to the idea that it was going to happen. And they even gave exact clues as to what was going to happen. There was a show called The Lone Gunman, which was a spinoff of The X-Files.
Totally.
Their first episode was about ramming a plane into the World Trade Center. And there's some other shows called The Long Kiss Goodnight, which is a movie they gave in detail what was going to happen with 9/11. So you're going to be seeing clips from that film. We're going to be showing clips from, we're going to be showing the preview to Deja Vu, where you see a soldier sitting in jail saying, "You don't know what's going to go down." Well, when I was doing my national talk show, I had talked about the situation with Oklahoma City and the situation with Oklahoma City and how, you know, that the guy, God, I can't even think right now because I'm in a
Tim McVeigh.
Yeah, Timothy McVeigh. When Timothy McVeigh was in jail, he had said the same thing that's in this movie. He says, "You don't know what's going to go down. I'm going to blow something up, and my, you know, that's my fate, and this is what I'm going to do." And he said basically the same thing when he was in jail when they were interviewing him. So, I mean, it's really odd the way Deja Vu captures that type of attitude prior to Oklahoma City and now 9/11. And then what I'm going to do is I'm also going to talk about the whole racism thing and how that's all pretext for what's going to happen in the future, basically about our president and about what our presidential hopefuls are going to be like, and whether or not we're ready for a minority presidential candidate such as a woman or a black president such as Barack Obama. And then from there, I talk about how I'll be talking about how racism is actually a way by which to create an idea for eugenics. It's really historically accurate and very, very interesting the way it all will play out. You'll be able to see probably into the future tonight of what's about to happen for 2007, which is really, you know, kind of creepy when you get into that territory.
So it's another exciting pick-me-up feel-good show with Clyde Lewis.
Actually, it will be pick-me-up feel-good. We're going to have Popeye versus E. coli we're going to show tonight. A lot of my shows are funny and scary at the same time. Ground Zero is one of those shows that, you know, it's funny, it's entertaining, it's scary, it's laugh.
I think that whenever you talk about E. coli, I think you should have to say it this way. E. coli.
E. coli. Well, and of course, his friend Hepe, who works at Taco Bell,
yes.
Hepatitis C, he actually, we're going to talk about that, and actually, trans fat, you know, all this stuff about food lately in the news. I don't know if you remember, there was an article I wrote, and you can Google it, it's called Deus Ex Machina, and I wrote it back in, I wrote it back in 2003, and I actually said that I think the next area we're going to be seeing problems is in the food supply. And there are going to be people, you know, dying of E. coli poisoning and all this other stuff. And I wrote that it just seems to me that this is like something I've seen before, see it all happening again, and it's happening now. And a lot of people have read that I've written that many times about the food supply because of the fact that, you know, things like mad cow disease and everything have been plaguing people.
Yes.
And they've been worried about stuff like that. But it's not that you need to worry about right now. There's a war going on between organic foods and other foods that are being manufactured in genetically modified foods. And that war is happening now. And what you're seeing with these E. coli outbreaks are places like, you know, when you see places like Taco Bell and places like, you know, they're giving out spinach and stuff, getting sick. I don't know if you know this or not, but the name of the company that the spinach was tainted, the company's name was Natural Selection.
I saw that. That's fantastic. How great is that?
Yeah, I mean, it's so ironic that it was named Natural Selection.
Darwin
you
Food
know,
Company.
Darwin, yeah. And there's also another company where they were producing carrot juice that got people sick as well. And it was botulism they got, but their name, and I can't remember the name of the company, but you can take from the name an anagram that is botulism, which is really kind of weird.
Fantastic.
So it just seems to me that this is, it's not necessarily a conspiracy theory. It's basically the idea that there are cover-ups and things of that nature that you need to be aware of, and that's what I'm going to bring up. And how deja vu does happen. It's amazing to watch.
It's happening tonight. I would like to leave you with this this thought, Clyde.
What?
Your mama is so fat, I had to use a Sherpa to get up on her last night. See? You laughed. It's funny.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Thank you. Clyde Lewis. ClydeLewis.com tonight at Dante's 8 p.m. Thank you, sir.
Right on, man. Bye-bye.
Go. Clyde Lewis, ladies and gentlemen. It's 503-733-2-9-7. Now, see, Scotty, he's just typing unrelated jokes on the screen. Now he's just typing all manner of... Now he's just typing. Scotty has got it into his head somehow that he should be typing all of those jokes about what do you call a guy with no arms and no legs, blah blah blah.
That's completely not what we're talking about.
Right.
Okay.
What do you call a guy with no arms and no legs in a mailbox?
I don't know what.
Bill. Tim. Tim, I'm sorry, it's funny. Tim Riley rejoins us in mere moments. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Chris, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Yeah, hey, this is Chris.
Yes, it is.
Hey, yo mama joke.
Yeah.
Yo mama's so fat, she jumped in the air and got stuck.
I don't even get it, but it's funny.
It's funny.
Thank you.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, fantastic. It's 503-733.
Tim, do you think those jokes are funny?
2970.
I suppose so, in certain situations.
Your mama's so fat, she got enough rolls to start a bakery. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, sometime after the new year is the time that we'll have to wait to hear from Hillary. Whether or not she'll run for president, she reiterated that position on the Today Show, emphasizing how much she has to think about her decision.
This is an intensely personal decision.
I am
running
for
president. I'm very honored that people are urging me to run and saying they want to sign up. And yet, at the end of the day, I want to be sure
that my
decision is right for me, for my family, for my party, for my country.
Yeah. Hillary says she knows how tough it is to be the president.
Well, I'm working hard to make a decision, and I will after the first of the year. I mean, it is really both very flattering and overwhelming to be looking at this. Maybe more than anybody else, I know how hard this job is. I saw it in an up-close and personal way for 8 years.
My husband had sex with 20-year-olds. Is the, now, did we know Barack Obama officially? Did he unveil some ad, something, or is that in the future?
No, he did.
Not that Monday Night Football thing, but there is, like, wasn't there, like, draftobama.com or some crap?
Yeah.
All right. And I don't know.
Running a commercial. Actually, it's running on TV New Hampshire soon.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Hillary says she has concerns about who gets into the Oval Office.
I'm trying to approach this with a big dose of humility, number one, because
she's
be
all
a
about
job,
humility.
No matter who gets it.
Hey, Hillary's really the shy, retiring type.
Hillary's asked about what she thinks about Barack Obama, who
may
decide.
Well, he's terrific. You know, he's a friend and a colleague, and I have a very high regard for him.
Oh, man.
You make a great running mate.
It's in the air. You can smell it. You can smell it. You can see the zeitgeist. It's on the way, baby. It's going to be a great, it's going to be a fantastic 2008. It really is. All right, it's Tim Riley.
I don't know if this should be a Tanya watch or a snuff watch.
Let's make it a Tanya watch. We haven't had one of those.
All right, let's do that.
Here's your, it's sort of a, you have to struggle to make it work. But here's a Tanya watch for Monday, right here on the Rick Emerson Show. The hair is dyed. I love this song. You know, more country music sounded this way, I'd still listen to it.
Well, Tanya Harding's talent agent has died. Ruth Webb was 88. She's been in business for the 1950s. She's represented some of the bigger names of all time, including Gloria Swanson, Dorothy Lamour, Donald O'Connor, and Ann Southern. She also takes trouble clients, such as Tanya Harding, Joey Buttafuoco, Cato Kaelin, Jennifer Flowers, Divine Brown, and John Wayne Bobbitt.
That is a who's who.
Yeah.
Now let's go through those one at a time, and just our initial impressions. Let's go through that latter list again.
Okay, Joey Buttafuoco.
Joey Buttafuoco. Well, see, you were probably a little too young to register Joey Buttafuoco.
Yeah, because I just saw the made-for-TV movies that came after
Boy,
that.
Boy, that was just a golden time. That was really just, I mean, I didn't even live in New York. I can't even imagine how great it was to live in New York during the Amy Fisher, Mary Jo, Joey Buttafuoco. What a great last name. Really, it was like they were just... If you saw that name in a movie, you wouldn't believe that it was real. You'd think it was a name they'd come up with just to be kooky. And boy, how hot was Amy Fisher? Even hotter because she's a felon.
Cato,
that girl was smoking.
Cato Kaelin was another.
And he was a talk show host. He was on KLSX, which is Lycus's flagship station. KLSX, I remember they gave Cato Kaelin the afternoon show there for a while.
Jennifer Flowers.
Jennifer Flowers. Hot. Hot in sort of like a really trashy, slutty kind of way that you know I like. She's sort of my friend Tava called porn star pretty. Not really pretty, not refined. Slutty, though. Slutty hot. She's like a Marissa, but taller.
Divine Brown?
Divine Brown. Not attractive. Wait, did she have a penis?
Divine Brown? Wasn't
no.
That Hugh Grant?
Hugh yep. Grant. I'm thinking of Eddie Murphy.
What were you thinking?
Thinking she had a penis. Yes, she might. She did that porn film. God, what's it called?
I don't think she... Yeah, I think it was a woman.
No, Divine... Yeah, I'm thinking of Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy picked the transsexual. That and Danny Bonaducci, too. No, Divine Brown was a woman. And she that movie, like, Love is Divine or something, or Ain't It Divine or something like that? Yeah.
John Wayne Bobbitt?
John Wayne Bobbitt. Well, you know, he made a movie called Frankenpenis. What are you going to do?
Tanya Harding?
Tanya Harding. Where is Tanya Harding now? Other than at a restaurant, probably somewhere eating. She is huge. Have you seen her recently?
Probably having a cigarette right now.
She is massive.
Is she still wrestling?
I can't imagine who would fight her at this point. She's like full-on Haystacks Calhoun size. I mean, she's huge. And I love Tanya Harding. I'd still do her. Don't get me wrong. I'd do her. But boy, is she big. Or at least she was big. I don't know where she is. The last time I saw her, she was on television and had just... had just really ballooned up. Was doing a whole lot of nothing. She was doing boxing... But she got her ass beaten at boxing, didn't she? When she did the celebrity boxing challenge, didn't she get worked? Who was it that she fought? Who did she fight on the celebrity boxing?
Some chick.
Do we even remember who it was? No. You know, celebrity just burns so quickly now that I can't even remember how you know, the burn factor is so fast now. Well, she fought somebody and got her ass beaten.
She was also offered by this agent a Woody Allen movie, but turned it down, saying she abhorred the director's morals.
Yeah. Or whatever you say, Tonya Harding. What would Tonya Harding possibly do in a Woody Allen film?
I don't know. Maybe she could act. Well, for many years, Miss Webb ran her business from her home. She adored working from her bedroom, where the bedposts were draped with feather boas. The walls covered with movie star photographs. There was also, in a cloud of white satin bed sheets, Miss Webb tirelessly worked the phones. And she was nursing a live baby raccoon from a bottle at the same time. She had more than 1,500 stuffed raccoons and countless raccoon figurines.
In other news, she was crazy.
She also owned a macaw and a live peacock. She was married twice to a lobster salesman.
A macaw?
A macaw.
I thought it was a slur. I thought you couldn't say macaw anymore.
That is a bird.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're not used by a senator during a re-election campaign.
Isn't that what he called it? You, Mr. McCaw?
Yeah.
Isn't McCaw a character in David Copperfield?
I'm not sure.
Oh, that's McCawber. Yeah, never mind.
So anyway, Tonya Hardy is a talent agent. I don't know what she's going to do now. Is that at the age of 88?
Macaque.
Here, that's your Tonya watch.
Macaque.
Scotty, your mama's so fat, she has to iron out her panties in the driveway. Let's see, here's, should I take,
yes.
Let's see, this is Dick, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Happy anniversary.
And what is today?
I think it was Saturday. Would have been the anniversary that Sarah came on to produce your show.
Is that true, Sarah?
Yeah, maybe.
I think so.
2002?
Yeah.
Yeah, when Christina left. I hadn't even thought about that. Well spotted, sir. Let me look at the calendar. Hold on. Today's the what? What is today?
The 18th.
No, so it would have been actually last week. It would have been last Thursday. No? No, you're right. It would have been Saturday because the 13th was Christina's last day. So Thursday, Friday. Yeah, so Saturday the 16th. Yeah, well spotted. Let's see. I didn't even notice that. Yes. And?
F. Matt Peterson.
Yes. And you want to...
That's it.
Which do you... You want to do what, sir?
Sponsor an F. Matt.
Well, how about I just give you a free one?
All right.
Go.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Thanks
for the anniversary. Thank you. I don't know where we were going with that. What is it? 3 years ago? Four? 4 years ago. Maybe. Something like that. 4 years ago. Damn, I didn't know, and I feel like an ass.
4 years ago, yeah.
I feel like an ass that he remembered it and I didn't. Well, happy anniversary, Sarah.
Oh, thank you.
God bless us, everyone. Here's Tim Riley.
That was the best move of your life coming here.
Really? It really is true, and how sad is that?
You must feel that way every day.
Every day when she has to sit through calls like
this. I was in Bremerton when Christina put in her notice on the air.
I remember that call. I remember the call, getting the call on my cell phone. It was a lot of, hello, this is Rick. Is it true that Christina's leaving? Yes, it is. Can I have the job? Totally. Wasn't quite that. I mean, not that we were pushing Christina out, but I mean, you were excited that an opportunity had opened for you. Hello, sir. How can I help you?
What's that? How about your mama joke?
All right.
You ready?
Only if you don't say it in this voice.
I have to.
Oh.
I hear they call your mama computer because she's everyone's laptop.
Okay. All right. The voice worked for it. You're right. I stand corrected. The voice really sold that one. All right. Thank you, sir. And he's done. Okay. No, I have to admit that I didn't think that was going to work. I typically abhor the silly voices on the show, but that he really made it. It did fit contextually speaking. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Charges are to be dismissed in a case in which Montgomery Hilton Garner allegedly shot his girlfriend in the rectum. With a .38 caliber revolver. The Tennessee Court of Criminal Appeals ordered the dismissal, saying former criminal court judge Doug Meyer should not have granted a mistrial in the case.
That really is some impressive aim, though, when you think about it. I mean, that's a small target, it would seem to me.
Since he did, it would be double jeopardy for another trial to go forward against the defendant. The mistrial was declared after issues went before the jury on the victim's mental state.
Why would you shoot somebody in the rectum? I mean, really, and I'm not asking, this is like a setup to erect him, I nearly killed him, kind of a joke.
But in some cases, it might be a large target. And there was a lesser chance to miss it than in some other cases.
I don't think so. I think
the person involved.
I think, now, we are in the news hour.
Yes.
I'm speaking, this is a news story. And I am a newsman. We are now speaking of this news story in the public interest, convenience, and necessity. But I do believe that, relatively speaking, I believe while the surrounding areas may fluctuate in size, I believe that area relatively stays relatively stable in terms of size. I believe it is relatively consistent.
All right.
There's nowhere to go with that.
No, so let's move on.
Shot her in the rectum.
Lohan's delicates have been bruised by pole dancing lessons. Lindsay Lohan has been left battered and bruised after taking pole dancing lessons. The Mean Girls actress has been making striptease training, part of her preparation for the role of a topless dancer in the new movie.
Hello.
I Know Who Killed Me.
Is she going to be topless? Do we know?
She's been finding the workouts tough. She tells the New York Post, 3 hours of pole dancing and bruising everywhere. I mean, you're talking upper and inner thigh action bruising like a walking black and blue mark. I mean, really tough. I didn't know it was possible to have that many bruises in that area of my body.
That's pretty sexy.
But I'm not going to lie to you, she said. The 20-year-old's representative, Leslie Sloan Zelnick.
Still only 20? God damn, she is. That girl has got to lock herself in some sort of a glass vault right now.
She's got to be dead by the time she's 25.
That's what I'm. But she's going to look like 40 by the time she goes. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's going to go out looking like a piece of jerky.
She's going to do some River Phoenix thing in front of a nightclub at 2
better,
in the morning.
I mean, really, look, Tanya, Lindsay, let me just tell you this. Really, your best option is to take your own life now. Mm-hmm. It really is. Because it's not going to get any better, sweetheart. You're not going to get any prettier. I fear it may be too late to reverse the physical effects of what you're doing to yourself. Everyone now knows you're crazy. Your best hope is to go out now dead crazy, confused, and tragic.
That's the way to do it.
That
and
really
little
is.
Girls will have posters of her in their rooms like Marilyn Monroe.
That's what I was thinking.
That exactly.
Modern day Marilyn Monroe.
Exactly, because it's too late to actually have a career like to achieve respectability. All you can do now is kill yourself. Any sensible career advisor would tell you to do the same thing.
Well, she needs to have relations with some big politicians somewhere. No, well, with the bangs.
True. Jesse, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, what's up, Rick?
Hey.
I'm not too sure, but I know that Tonya Harding fought a dude. It was either Joey Buttafuoco or Screech, and they just beat the crap out of him.
She fought a guy, really?
Yeah, I swear, dude.
She wasn't. It wasn't about Joey Buttafuoco. That guy's way out of her weight class. I mean, even hefty Tonya.
It might have been like one of the Brady dudes. I know she fought a guy.
Danny Bonaducci fought the Brady guy, and Screech fought Todd Bridges. I thought. What a stupid goddamn country we live in. Well, okay, he didn't
want to be told he was wrong.
He didn't like having his thoughts challenged. That's a man, he folds under pressure. Now, you know what it is? That was just a Potemkin opinion. You leaned on it and the whole thing just collapsed, sadly. Doug, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello. I like it the minute I don't think you're right. Click, gone. Doug, hello.
Hello.
Hey.
What's up? Got a comment on the name Buttafuoco. And all that long ago, you couldn't even say Buttafuoco on the radio.
Why is that, sir?
Because it was one of the 7 things you're not supposed to say on the radio. Buttafuoco? Shouldn't be able to say Tonya Harding.
Somebody's direction is on.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Are you ticking?
Okay, give me the McCarthy laugh and get it over with.
Thank you. All right, there you go.
I think people are into the happy sauce. The week before Christmas when they should be diligently working.
Sometimes I just like to let the listeners come to their own inevitable conclusion. You know what I mean? I like for them to get to the bottom of the page by themselves without having to be led. He knew where that had to end.
People are trying awful hard.
They're giving it the old college, well, not really the college, they're giving it the
community college try.
The old community college try. That's genius. Write that down. They're giving it the community college try. Are these paraplegic jokes?
No, they're all paraplegic college.
Why? Okay. Jeff, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, you know, this Lindsay Lohan thing?
Yeah.
What's the deal with, like all of these Britney Spears, the Olsen freaks, Lindsay Lohan, anybody associated with Disney is, like, totally messed up? There'll just never be another Annette. I mean, what's the deal?
It's true. They were all Disney kids, weren't they? Isn't that the thing?
Yes.
They were all, and so was
Hillary
Justin Timberlake.
Duff is the only one that's turned out, like, moderately normal.
Christina
Aguilera. You don't hear anything about her.
No, yeah. Christina Aguilera is pretty normal, though. Christina Aguilera is relatively normal.
She got it out of her system.
She went through the crazy girl phase. She went through, like, the slut phase.
Yeah.
Now she's gone all Hollywood.
Nothing
wrong with that.
Gene Harlow on us and everything. But, no, you're right. There is, like, a Disney. That's a weird company. The Disneyfication of children. You're right. It really is a strange. There's something in that company that is just that it warps. And here's the thing that I think about sometimes.
Has that ever happened to Spin and Marty?
No, no, sir.
Our demographics don't go that high.
No. Whatever happened to Beanie and Cecil? No. What I was going to ask, or whatever. It's an observer. I'll save it for another time. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. That's Jeff. I was going to make an observation, but it's best saved. I'll put it back in the bag. Is this true that Tonya Harding fought Andy Dick? That doesn't seem right. Scotty, where are you getting that from? Let me guess. Listener, caller said this. Yeah. Callers frequently don't know what they're talking about, Scotty.
There are times when that's true.
This is the thing. Not that we do, but I'm just saying, just as with us, they're just...
Well, there are three of us who can eventually get to the truth.
We're all just people, Scotty, which means that frequently we are... egregiously, we are up in the night, as they say. Now, I do not believe Tonya Harding fought Andy Dick. All right.
Squid is saying that she fought Paula Jones.
I think that could be true.
That has the ring of familiarity to it. Paula Jones. And I wonder if that was after she got her new nose. Maybe. Paula Jones. But that was a girl who was never hot. Even after she cleaned up a little and they gave her a bunch of plastic surgery, she was never attractive. Or maybe just not attracted to me. Clearly good enough for Bill Clinton, although that is, I think, a relative statement. Not like, what's her name?
Yeah.
Geraldine Flowers, is that her name?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, Jennifer Flowers.
Jennifer Flowers.
Geraldine is the Flip Wilson character. Geraldine is the big black man in drag that Bill Clinton was having sex with. There you go. That's right out of our target demographic. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Your mama's like a motorcycle. You got to jump on her to get it started. It's 503-733-2970. We're back after this. We have phone calls, inexplicably. A guy wants to old school F Matt. A guy wants to tell us a paraplegic joke. And these people are calling for reasons unknown. We'll find out. It's 503-733-2970. Are we halfway done with today's show already? That doesn't even seem possible.
I think this week's going to fly.
Jesus. Well, what are you going to do? All right, here's...
Megan.
It's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay right there. Ed McCarthy on the way.